News Radio WJPS State Representative Patrick Windhorst. Patrick, morning, pal. How are you?
Great, Tom. How are you?
Good, good. Long weekend of rain, of course. I would think that in your district, Southeast Illinois, with what I've seen so much, you've had some local communities that have begun to reach out for assistance from the state of Illinois?
Yes, not only our office, but we've been in contact with the state and with kind of making those connections between the governor's office, IEMA, and our local elected officials and local emergency managers, trying to make sure we have the resources we need because, you know, this, well, hopefully the rain will be over, the flooding will continue for a few days, and there's been a lot of damage, and I've seen a few roads that have been washed out, so there'll be a lot ahead of us.
Yeah, and at this point, it's send more sandbags, and when then that's over, it's going to be we need construction or reconstruction from the what I've seen.
That's right. That's what we're seeing as well, and you know, part of what we'll be doing is making sure that those connections are made with the state, and we're going to be providing as much help as we can to our local elected officials and our local communities.
So you just returned from D.C. What happened in D.C.? What was going on, you and the other Republicans in your entourage?
Well, as you're aware, the federal government is currently going through or Congress is going through the reconciliation process where they're getting a budget worked out between the House and the Senate. We know that there are going to be some reforms that are going to occur, particularly to federal programs such as Medicaid. And we wanted to reach out to our Republican delegation, Representative Boss, Miller and LaHood, as well as staff from key committees who will be handling those issues to get a handle on what we can expect in changes and how that's going to impact our state government, or our state budget in particular, and then what we see as issues that could be addressed from the federal government that would help our state.
Such as? Can you give me an example there?
Well, really, it has a lot to do with the Medicaid program. And, you know, we are a state that gets about 50% of its match in Medicaid from the federal government. Other states get more than us, get up to 85%. And then we have on top of that the Medicaid expansion that our state has. And we have in our state a trigger law which says if on that portion, which is on top of additional Medicaid, if we fall below 90% of reimbursement, then that has impacts on our state budget. So we were trying to get a handle on what to expect on that additional portion of the Medicaid expansion, and if there are going to be changes to reimbursement from the federal government, and how that would impact the state. But there were things related to education, agriculture, veterans. The full gamut of issues that touch between federal and state government, we tried to get a handle on.
So you went there to remind the people in D.C. and the president that not everybody in Illinois is a Democrat?
That's correct. You know, there are good, strong Republicans in Illinois who are supportive of the president and his efforts. We you know, as was talked about, we spend about $7 trillion on the federal side. We take in about $5 trillion. In revenue. So that $2 trillion deficit, you know, roughly, is not sustainable. There have to be changes to programs. There have to be cuts. We see a lot of that coming from the federal side on discussions of what programs are going to be cut and what programs are going to be reined in. And all those decisions, they have to be made. Those reforms have to be made. But there are ways that can be made that impact our state in different ways.
Yeah, well, being a donor state is a tough position to be in, and we've been that way for a very, very long time. So you're back in Springfield. You know, I talked to Toni McCombie last week, and she was saying, you know, ask her what she expects. She expects a lot of chaos. You know, you got the Trump-Pritzker fight, which we just alluded to. But still at this point, with all the things that are going on and so very many things, still fresh in the memory, I mean, we haven't seen the sentencing for Mike Madigan yet. Will the Illinois legislature continue to ignore ethics reform in Illinois this session?
Well, and adding on top of that, we have a state senator who's scheduled to go on trial this week. Just one other example. It doesn't receive a lot of attention because he's not as well known as former Speaker Madigan. But the short answer is we've not seen anything come forward that deals with ethics reform. I sit on the Ethics and Elections Committee. We had a subject matter hearing last week. We heard four bills that were all related to elections issues. We have not seen anything come forward in an ethics package that would even begin to touch what we saw happen with Speaker Madigan or other issues that have come forward in the last 2 years.
You know, I was pretty impressed, and I'm thinking you are too. Between pro-life and homeschooling, people went to Springfield and put it on the line. Not very widely reported, but they were there en masse.
You know, I've been in the legislature now since 2019, so I've seen a little bit of time, not as much as some, but still seen a little bit. That was the first time in my memory that the Capitol complex had to be shut down, not for any threat, but because of the number of people who had come to the Capitol. Basically, we reached capacity in what the building could safely hold. And these were individuals who were coming to Springfield to have their voice heard. And I tell you, it was heard. Now, we don't know yet what the future of this legislation will be. In fact, we'll have a much better idea this week. This is the House third reading deadline week on Friday. So we'll have a good idea of what's going to happen with this piece of legislation. But I just want to be clear, the efforts of the advocates and the homeschool families was not unnoticed. In fact, it has been the talk of Springfield.
You know what got my attention? It was the punishment portion. And Dave Severin told me this, you know, and I'm listening to him talk, and I'm like, yeah, I hadn't put two and two together, that we see a lot of initiatives to minimize punishment, to let people, you know, write back out. All these things have gone Safety Act. Right. But suddenly here's the idea. We don't you didn't do what we said to do with your kids. So 30 days in the hole.
This is this is the inconsistency that we see coming from the other side. We put forward bills on our side to deal with those who are committing violent crime, serious crimes in our state. We ask for more severe punishments or ability to hold them pending trial under the Safety Act. Those get ignored. Or they don't even receive a hearing. And then we have one where this bill, where you have families who are simply trying to educate their kids according to the dictates of their conscience. And now they may be drawn into the criminal justice system through some inadvertent error. It's ridiculous. And hopefully the sponsor of this bill and others who are pushing it will see the error and either pull the bill or significantly change it.
All right. Now, another issue, which apparently involved a big, large line a little over a week ago, was this international registration plan for truckers. And when I spoke with David Severin a week ago today, he had been speaking with the Secretary of State's office. Was there an acceptable resolution to this issue?
Well, not that I have heard. Now, it's something we'll be digging into more this week. I hope that we can reach a resolution, but I'm not aware of one being reached.
Okay. And, you know, it was the first time that I read this when it says due to staffing issues at the Secretary of State's office, which was interesting. I know there were issues with taking money and on the list goes in a rather large line there. Will this session's legislature increase taxes on Illinois taxpayers by $1 billion? Patrick Windhorst, yes or no?
I believe we will see a tax increase of some kind this year. Now, if you remember from last year, what we saw was about a $1 billion tax increase that was spread out among different industries, and it was tried to be minimal as far as impact to everyone in Illinois. I think we will see a similar effort this year, particularly because we're facing a $2 to $3 billion deficit, and the appetite on the other side of the aisle is not to cut spending. It is to either hold line on spending or even increase spending and find other dollars from taxpayers to pay for it. So I anticipate we will see a tax increase. If the revenues aren't what they expect as we come toward the end of May, it's possible we see an across-the-board tax increase. But I anticipate there will be what the other side charitably calls a revenue enhancement, but it's in truth a tax increase, and we'll see those hit different areas of our state. And just to be clear, these things add up. Every year we have tax increases here and there in different industries. And all these things, along with other regulations we'll pass probably 400 bills potentially this week alone out of the House. They'll go to the Senate, of course. All these regulations and tax increases just drive up the cost of living in Illinois. And it makes it so that people are fleeing the state by the thousands. So I urge the leadership on the other side to wake up to the problems that we're facing, actually cut spending, reduce the burdens on our families and businesses, reduce regulations, so that way we can get our state growing and thriving again.
I want to let you go, and I know you got a busy day, but can I try to squeeze some questions? Our listeners have suddenly started sending questions in, okay? Here's one from Harold. It says, maybe you could ask for an amendment in the homeschool bill where we would receive the same amount per student that public schools get. This is clearly a homeschooler.
You know, there is a push in other states. It's been referenced in Illinois about allowing the tax dollars to flow with the student. So rather than the tax dollars going to individual school districts, the student actually has an amount of money that they could take to a private school, or they can, you know, use for homeschooling purposes. I want to dig in more into that before I can endorse it, but it's something that is occurring and being discussed in other states, and that's not something that is necessarily outside the realm of possibility.
Here's another one from Andy. Can you ask about the safe storage law being proposed for guns and how it will be policed? Could it be directly related to the registration that was implemented for assault weapons? This bill is talking about, I think this new bill, I don't know if they're linked together, about the safe storage, but also, I think, an insurance policy component, too.
We're seeing a few bills that have come out of the Senate and be coming to the House, and then we have our own House Gun Violence Prevention Committee, which is not, Bruce, a few smaller bills. We're expecting a larger firearms-related package to come forward, including safe storage, including insurance, or at least an insurance task force. As far as how that is going to be policed, essentially the way the law is designed is if a firearm is stolen or lost and then used in a crime, the person who owned the firearm, regardless of whether they reported it as lost or stolen, would be fined. And if that happened on more than one occasion, you could result in the state removing the individual's rights to possess a firearm. I believe that's an overreach under the Constitution. I don't believe it's constitutional under the Second Amendment. And, of course, we'll be fighting hard against that legislation, as well as the insurance portion, which what we're aware of is there is no broad insurance policy that exists for just firearm ownership is what is envisioned by this piece of legislation. So I think that's why the sponsors are moving toward a task force. Either way, these are, again, overreaches from the other side. They're likely unconstitutional, will be challenged in federal court, and I believe the courts will hold them to be unconstitutional. It's something in this committee and others we have to keep an eye on constantly to make sure we're protecting our citizens' rights.
State Representative Patrick Windhorst.